More protests are planned against President Donald Trump's temporary immigration freeze. Demonstrations across the country yesterday attracted thousands.
Immigrants are welcome here, no hate, no fear! Immigrants are welcome here, no hate, no fear!
Himal Mitra was one of the protesters in Boston.
Once upon a time, my parents had green cards. Just because they weren't Muslim, this could easily have happened to them. There is no basis for doing this to anyone.
Well, Jim Walsh is here and now securities analyst, and he's with the Security Studies Program at MIT. Jim, it's good to have you back.
Good to be with you, Meghna.
All right. So the president says that the temporary ban is not a Muslim ban. He says it's all about terrorism and keeping the United States safe. Your response?
Well, I think it's basically based on a national security myth. He keeps saying that refugees in particular pose a terrorism danger. Now, if you look at the actual numbers, your chances, Meghna, of being killed by a terror attack in the U.S. carried out by a refugee are 1 in 3.6 billion. That is billion with a B. None of the 9/11 attackers were refugees. It's an infinitesimally small risk. The CDC will tell you you are more likely to be killed by a toddler by falling out of your bed than you are a refugee who executes a terror attack on the U.S. homeland.
Now, so the refugee moratorium is one thing, but there's also the 90-day ban on those seven predominantly Muslim countries. I've heard a lot of people say, hey, Saudi Arabia is not on the list, and the 9/11 attackers, most of them were from Saudi Arabia. But isn't that a little backwards looking? I mean, we ought to be preparing for potentially the next terrorist attack. And who's to say that that person couldn't have ties or come from a place like Yemen?
Well, I don't think the standard of evidence should be, well, who could it possibly be? Where could they possibly come from? You know, there's no such thing as a 100% security. We take security risks all the time. The question is, do we have specific evidence about specific threats that would warrant turning people away for in a particular moment in time? Not a blanket ban from a bunch of countries. And not only are I think you do you fail to really improve your security on what is a low risk affair, you are actually detracting from your security. So Iraq, who is Iraq fighting in Mosul right now? ISIS. Now we have slapped this ban on them. The Iraqi legislature has met and now has decided to retaliate. This is our ally that we are fighting terrorists with. And we say that ISIS is our number one priority, and yet we're undermining our actions with this very step.
Mm. Isn't it possible, though, that ISIS, being what it is, no matter what the U.S. government does, that they would somehow spin it and use it as a recruitment tool?
Well, I think that that's certainly true. They'll take any opportunity they can. If they don't use this, they'll use something else. But let's not help them. We've already had commentary coming out of the Middle East that, at least for some people, it appears to be a Muslim ban that confirms their worst fears. Remember during the campaign, the president said several things about Muslims that were already raising eyebrows at the time. And, you know, if you're sitting in the Middle East, this seems like a consistent track record. So, yes, ISIS will want to, you know, come after us regardless. Again, my point is let's not make it easier for them.
Mm. Well, Jim, while we've got you, I just want to switch gears here for a second and talk about some changes that the president is making to the National Security Council meetings. He has said that the director of national intelligence and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff would only attend those meetings, quote, where issues pertaining to their responsibilities and expertise are to be discussed. And instead, President Trump's senior advisor, Steve Bannon, will now be attending the meeting. So we've got some reaction here from Republican Senator John McCain. He was asked about it on Face the Nation.
The appointment of Mr. Bannon is something which is a radical departure from any National Security Council in history. And the role of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has been diminished, I understand, with this reorganization.
Jim Walsh, your response. Is this a dangerous mixing of policy and politics?
Let me focus on the second part, the sort of demoting of the Director of National Intelligence and the Chair of the Joint Chiefs. As your introduction suggested, they'll have those guys in into these meetings when, you know, it's relevant. Now, this is the National Security Council. So what exactly are the meetings you're having where you don't need the Director of National Intelligence? I can't imagine what that meeting would be where you wouldn't want your top intel officer in the room with you.
And the inclusion of Bannon, I mean, I was reading that, for example, President George W. Bush explicitly said that Karl Rove, his senior advisor, would never be allowed to attend the National Security Council meetings because he didn't want to mix politics in with security issues.
Well, it's certainly true that every president since Truman has tweaked and adjusted the National Security Council towards their own preferences. This does represent a departure. But I guess what concerns me most is this is a president who doesn't have any foreign policy experience. Mr. Bannon doesn't have any national security experience. He's not a national security professional. We're demoting two of the members of the committee that do have national security experience. And given the week that we've just had, I mean, this is a team that needs all the expertise they can. They should be augmenting it, not reducing it.
Jim Walsh is here now, security analyst. Jim, many thanks.
Thank you.
And by the way, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer called it, quote, utter nonsense that key members of the National Security Council were downgraded.